This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Poetry in motion, a beautiful sight to see. I get so excited, you and her anatomy.
11:31, welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the still all-new 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, a.k.a. the Peoria Plowboy. We're about to have Dr. Rick come on and talk some medicine. Get your questions in. We already have one about apple cider vinegar. I had to look this up because somebody in the text line said, I take, a tablespoon of ACV? And I didn't know what that meant. Apparently it's apple cider vinegar. But we'll ask Dr. Rick about that and a whole lot more. Dr. Rick, how you doing this morning still?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are really good. I have to start. Let's start with a listener text question. I have to find it for you. First of all, I had to look up ACV because I didn't know the acronym for apple cider vinegar. Is that a pretty popular thing to take in the morning with water?
So here's the deal. I mean, there's sort of two ways to look at apple cider vinegar. There's no question it is an appetite suppressant. And there's no question that if you take it, I mean, I don't know if you've tried to take it, it's a little rough. So you have to dump it in something, and something could be water, something could be drinking it straight's impossible. There isn't really any science that's going to tell you that, yes, it's going to help you lose weight or this is going to help your cardiovascular system. But the people that have in my practice that have taken it have lost weight. So I would tell you it's worth a go just because it does suppress your appetite pretty much across the board.
So is that the primary reason for usage? Because this listener saying, for the doctor, I drink one tablespoon of ACV with an eight-ounce glass of water first thing in the morning. I notice I haven't had heartburn anymore, but is the ACV kick really a good thing? So they're asking about specifically, does it reduce heartburn?
Actually, it's acidic, so it's probably it should actually make your heartburn worse.
Oh, no.
To be 100% honest, because the vinegar in is acidic, and the reason you have heartburn is an overload of acid in your stomach. So probably the water is doing more good than the apple cider vinegar is doing.
All right, it's important to note that was a question from the text line and not from me, okay? That was from the text line. All right, you sent over some articles, as you always do. Apparently, your brain may be shrinking if you have a beer belly, or one of my favorite terms, the muffin top.
Ooh.
So, you know, this is a crazy article because it's one of these things where they looked at all these people and they said, all right, we're going to measure the size of your brain. And in doing that, then we're going to look at your BMI and we're going to look at your body habits. And we all know that if you have a beer belly, that's the worst kind of weight to have. So as opposed to just being generally overweight, which probably isn't the greatest either, there's no question that having a beer belly is the worst kind of fat to have. So they looked at all these people and they realized that there was an association between BMI and the size of your brain, which doesn't necessarily mean that if you're heavy, your brain shrinks. So, but what it does mean is that most people I wouldn't say most people, but generally people that have normal belly habits probably have a certain size of their brain. That's what we call standard deviation. Your brain's a certain size. That brain, your brain's smaller. So as your waist size goes up. So the million-dollar question is, if you lost the weight, what would happen to your brain? And that's what we don't know. But it's very interesting, and I do think that probably – there is some vascular restriction to people that have this, you know, wheat belly or beer belly, whatever you want to call it. And so I would tell you that if that is what's going on, you probably want to try to lose that gut.
Okay, so this is an anecdotal question. Now, this is from me, so if this is a bad question, you can actually rip on me for this. But it seems like, and maybe it's different between men and women, but it seems like when you talk about where fat sits on your midsection, am I right that a lot of people get the belly fat or the beer belly. Other people will get more of the love handles. Is there a reason for that genetically, why, you know, fat kind of sits in different spots for different people?
Well, you hit it on the head, Charlie. It's genetic. So the whole thing is some people, like women say, well, I always gain all my weight in my hips, or I gain all my weight in my face, wherever. So that's 100% genetic. So if you are someone that routinely gains weight and gets a beer belly, you want to be extremely careful, because that is associated with cardiovascular disease, where if you get love handles or you just kind of gain weight diffusely, that's a lot healthier. But the answer, direct answer to your question, is 100% genetic. Has nothing. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't isolate or train your abs or your obliques. And so that's just, some people got blue eyes, some people got brown eyes. That's just the way it is.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Rick Lehman. Get your texts in on the Maryville University listener line. That's for calls, the Winning Streak text line, 855-282-8255. And I found this pretty interesting. This is why most Americans don't exercise more. It's basically because they feel too old. And I was shocked by the number of how old people are that think they're too old to exercise.
Well, you know, it's such a weird thing, because you have, I mean, everybody who doesn't exercise, in their mind either says, I hate it, I'm not going to do it, or there's a reason. And the reason, you know, is too tired, I'm too busy, I'm too old, 55 years old. And if you think about it, the older you are, the more you should want to exercise, because that goes directly towards, hey, you're living longer, your health, et cetera. But some of the reasons, to say you're too tired, or to say you can't make time, that's just a bad excuse. Because, I mean, I'm as busy as anybody. I exercise every day. Maybe I do it at 10 at night or 11 at night. Sometimes it just sucks and it's terrible. But it is so important to exercise, just based on, you know, your cholesterol, your heart, your muscle tone, et cetera. So it is very interesting that some of these, I don't want to call them excuses, but reasons why people don't exercise, you know, to say I'm too old is just, you know, that's just the wrong answer.
We have a text coming in. See, this is what we get. I was talking about love handles versus the beer belly, and somebody from the 618 says, what if I have both a beer belly and love handles and man boobs? So I don't know if that's a serious question right there. But you bring up the fact about working out different times during the day. And you always hear this, too, about should you not be working out right before bed because you're going to stay up and not be able to go to sleep. Is there a best time of day, whether it's right in the morning, whether it's midday, to do, let's say, weightlifting versus cardio? Are there different times of the day that it's best suited for different types of exercising?
So the best time to exercise in general is the morning. No doubt about it. No question. Has to do with your circadian rhythm, when your testosterone's the highest. Best time to work out's in the morning. The best time to lift weights is probably around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you said, you know, you got nothing to do all day, you got all day, all you're going to do is figure out your workout regimen. You want to lift weights at 1, you want to do your cardio about 8 in the morning. And if you're used to working out late, you know, if you're not used to working out late, you work out late, it's going to keep you up. If you're used to working out at 10 at night, you do it every night, you're going to fall asleep in about 2 minutes. You're never going to have a problem. So it's really kind of what you acclimate to. But in the perfect world, you said, look, I could do anything, I have no schedule. You want to do your cardio early. You want to lift weights around 1, which is going to be the most beneficial. And then around 2 o'clock, you want to have a high protein meal. That would be the, you know, you're a professional bodybuilder. That's what you would do.
We have another listener asking about Lexapro. Is this to treat depression?
So Lexapro basically is an antidepressant, and it's for people that have usually some type of clinical depressive disease. So it's not for somebody who just, you know, made a bad bet on the Kansas City Chiefs and feels bad. It's somebody who's got chronic depression. And yes, Lexapro, like Prozac and some of these other medicines, is an antidepressant.
So here's a better question then. Best exercises post rotator cuff surgery from the 314.
Rows, you know, where you're kind of sitting using a rowing machine, biceps, triceps, and generally lat pull downs. You want to try to avoid bench. You want to try to avoid push-ups. You probably want to try to avoid anything where you're in that 90-90 position, kind of like that push-up position. But you want to strengthen all the muscles in the back part of your shoulder. It's a little counterintuitive. So you want to strengthen your lats, your traps, those muscles in the back. And that would be upright seated rows, biceps, and triceps, those would be the best. And if your shoulder's really killing it, then lat pull downs work very well.
Dr. Rick, I want to ask you about cortisone shots and how it relates to athletes, because we hear that it helps kill pain and numbs soreness, but there's a limit on what you can do with those, right? I mean, you can't just, hey, I'm sore every 2 weeks, go get a cortisone shot, correct?
Good question. So, you know, we pretty much have stopped probably in the last 4 or 5 years doing cortisone injections. We're doing more something called PRP, platelet-rich plasma, where we draw your blood, spin it down, and inject. And for just that reason. So the cortisone is an anti-inflammatory, kills the pain, kills the swelling, but it's not free. So it's also going to break down the tissue a little bit. So you're exactly right. You can't just say, hey, I'm feeling sore, I'm feeling swollen, I'm going to go play 18 holes of golf, let's go get a cortisone injection. And an occasional cortisone injection, quite honestly, ain't going to hurt you. But repeated cortisone injections have been shown over and over again to break down the tissue. So you got to be careful.
And Dr. Rick Lehman, how about Apple teaming up with Johnson & Johnson to see if the Apple Watch can help prevent strokes?
This is ingenious. This is beyond ingenious. So they're looking at there's a little health button on your Apple Watch. And this technology, I think, is kind of where it's all going. So right now they're looking at strokes. They're looking at being able to do an EKG. But just imagine if they could monitor your blood pressure, monitor your blood glucose level, you know, if you're a diabetic, monitor if you're having a stroke or what's called a CVA, cerebral vascular accident, you know, you're a little dizzy, you're feeling a little whacked, and all the things that you go to a doctor for, you know, they could do all that on a continuous basis through your watch. And I think that technology is coming if they're not already all over it. You're basically going to be able to monitor people. They're not going to have to sit for 2 hours in the doctor's office, go get their blood pressure taken, an EKG, this and that. And number two, just think how, you know, you could hook that up to a computer, and if your blood sugar is, crazy, you know, an alert comes on, and it would just be so much more efficient, but so much more healthy. And so it's not just the fact of the stroke. I just think all of your health parameters are going to be monitored, you know, through your radial artery and your skin, and they're going to be able to monitor all these things. And basically, you know, unless you really got something going on, go to the doctor, but you don't need your yearly checkup. And instead of monitoring every year, every 6 months, you know, so on a continuous basis, you kind of know where your blood sugar is, what your blood pressure is, et cetera. I mean, it's ingenious.
So a couple questions from the text line. One about what about exercises for a frozen shoulder? What exactly is a frozen shoulder?
That's the word. Very painful. You know, one of the worst things in terms of discomfort. So you start to lose motion in your shoulder, and can't sleep, can't roll over on it, and it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter. So your motion gets worse and worse. The exercises for a frozen shoulder are generally stretching. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So a lot of people with frozen shoulder end up having to have surgery because they just can't get their motion back. So what you want to do is you want to try to stretch. And that would be hanging from a pull-up bar, walking through a door, putting your hand, crawling up the wall and getting your hand as high as you can, and then walking through the door trying to stretch your shoulder, laying on your back and maybe putting a small weight in your hand. Put your arm above your head and see if the weight will stretch your shoulder. So basically, you're trying to get your arm above your head as far as you can with your elbow straight, kind of coming straight up. And any exercises, even having a friend push, wife, whatever, kind of stretch it will make a difference.
And we have a follow-up question from the rotator cuff guy. Can he put BioFreeze on his healing surgery for the rotator cuff?
No problem. Rock and roll, do it.
All right. So with spring training coming up in about 3-4 weeks, we had the winter warm-up yesterday. I feel like I've asked you a version of this question, but it kind of fascinates me with baseball, and I'm sure it's the same with other sports, because we always hear about back in the day, whether it's 50s, 60s, 70s, that the guys used to, you know, maybe they're working other jobs in the offseason, and they almost show up to spring training out of shape, and maybe their goal is to lose that 10, 15, 20 pounds so that opening day they're in shape for the season. And now all these guys are training year-round. It seems like they're all in shape now. We always joke about, hey, we're in the best shape of our lives. But it seems like these guys really are training year-round. And I guess the question is that good to be ready to go in February, or could it be better for your body to kind of ramp it up so that, hey, April 1st, we're ready to go? Can you train too much, and can there be a detriment there?
You know, it's a really good question. And when you talk to the older guys, they did just that. They, you know, they kind of took the off season off. They came into spring training a little heavy, a little overweight, you know, a little under performing, and then they would kind of work themselves into shape. And that was the whole idea of spring training. Now the whole idea of spring training is making the team. So you want to come in the very best shape, have an amazing spring training, you know, make the roster and on with the show. So things have changed quite a bit. I am a firm believer in your recovery period. I think you need that time off. So I think guys that train in the whole off season and come into camp in unbelievable shape probably have a little bit higher propensity, and studies will show a little bit higher propensity to have an injury. So you're better off resting. But on the other hand, you're 22 years old. You know, you don't really want to go back to the instructional league, and you're doing everything you can to put your best foot forward. So you're going to come into camp and show that you're in shape and show them what you got. And so I think that's how it's changed. But from a medical standpoint, not having a recovery phase or just taking a few weeks off and starting training again, I just think that leads to more injuries. And again, we're seeing more injuries.
All right, final question for Dr. Rick from our guy Don. We'll end on a lighter note because this interview has been so serious here. He says, since we live in St. Louis, what's the most non-boring exercise to do? Of course, Chris Bryant came out. He said, our city is boring. So I want Dr. Rick, who you're down giving tennis lessons in Miami and hanging out in Tampa, defend our non-boring city.
You know, I bicycle, and I bicycle around, and I think the city is pretty fascinating. So I would say get on your bike, you know, go ride around North County and go ride around some of these historical areas. I think it's great. But, you know, we don't have a beach and we don't have some of those things. So there are some things, you know, you can't make up for. But, again, you know, go for a run and go to areas you're not used to going to. Go see parts of the city that are really historic, that are really cool. Go jog around Soulard or wherever, and I think those are the exercises that are the least boring. He did say that, and, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of a slam, but you could say that about any Midwestern city or any non-coastal city, so you're in the middle.
That's what I'm saying. See, I'm from Toledo, Ohio, so I really have no room to talk. I can't talk about St. Louis or really anywhere else. Dr. Rick, thank you. Great information as always, sir.
You guys take care.
All right. That's Dr. Rick Lehman. Great information. Good questions. Somebody in the text line says, don't call me rotator cuff guy. Oh, see, somebody, of course, right when we hang out with Dr. Rick.
Right.
How about a home remedy for jock itch? So we can get him back on, but I don't think he'll probably want to.
There's nothing that says we're not a boring city, like a nice little bike ride.
Hey, I like riding bikes. Grant's Trail, go up and down Grant's Trail. It's about 16 miles if you go back and forth.
Oh, I know, and I love Dr. Rick. I just knew he would kind of, you put him on the spot, and you're like, what is not boring about this city?
All boring. All exercise is boring, I think, just in general.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I do it. I don't like it.
But some are more interesting, like if you go on a hike.
Hiking's better.
Castlewood.
Yeah.
That's better than just being on a treadmill. I know some people might like that. I hate that.
I'm not a treadmill guy. See, I hurt my knee on a treadmill, so no.
It's great to have dogs because in the summer it's just automatically active. And you just have to for the dog's sake. So taking them out hiking, certainly. That's why I do it. If I didn't have a dog, I probably wouldn't leave my house.
You like being tricked into it then?
Yeah, forced.
What?
I guess,
this is exercise?
Not tricked,
I didn't realize
forced.
That.
So I was joking with Dr. Rick because the whole thing with the best shape of your life, I was watching MLB Network this morning, and they were asking for what are the worst cliches in sports or baseball. And they ran off a bunch of the tweets, and I wrote down two of them because I thought they had special meaning for our non-boring city of St. Louis. But one of them was best shape of my life. I've shown up in the best shape of my life. Because I just feel like every winter warm-up, that's all we say, every spring training, there's always a Cardinals player that either loses 30 pounds.
Brett Cecil.
Or shows up ripped.
Brett Cecil lost a lot of weight, apparently.
Yeah,
Lance Lynn
talk
did that
about their
a few
bodies.
Years back.
And then goes in and hits 240 in the best shape of their life.
Right. What's funny, too, is
got benched a month into your best shape of your life season.
What's funny also, and I think I'm going to spring training this year for Fox 2, and I feel like I've been there twice. maybe 3 times, I can't remember. But one of the years I was there was the Lance Lynn weight loss year. And that was the big story. The dude shows up 40 pounds lighter, and we're all talking about he's baking his chicken wings. But then you're looking at him, you're like, is this good?
He did not look healthy.
But here's what's funny. Here's what's right. funny. Is, and this is where I say this all the time, not just as a media member, just a sports fan, really anywhere in life. Trust your eyes. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, don't listen to what the powers that be all the time tell you about this is this and this is that and this is good. Like, I think everybody looked at Lance Lynn and was like, how are you going to throw hard? You know what I'm saying? Like, he lost too much weight. Everybody said, no, this is great for his lifestyle and for his body and for his health and all that. And he said that. And the manager said that.
And everyone else went, yeah, but can he throw 95?
Right. And the general manager said that. And then guess what? He wasn't as good.
No, he wasn't.
And as the season wore on, he put on a healthy amount of that weight back. Like, he was never obese, I would say, but he had a good, solid kind of base to be a pitcher. Like, you need to have some mass. And I just remember being there, and you would look at him, and he didn't even look like the same human being. And you kind of wondered, is this actually good? Everyone's like, oh, it's great. No, he's going to be better. No, he wasn't.
Agreed.
So sometimes
the body type,
trust your eyes,
should dictate how much you work out and stuff like that. I mean, that Lance Lynn thing is the perfect example of it.
Like, you can be a healthy pitcher, though. For example, CC Sabathia, should he lose some weight? Probably.
David Wells.
I mean, those guys, you shouldn't just have belly fat, but you also shouldn't be just a skinny mini up there. I mean, you need to have a base, and you need to have some strength to generate the wear and tear of maybe 200 innings and also to try to throw 105 pitches in a baseball game.
Chuck, you can put a feather in your cap today. You work out, or at least you lift, at the most opportune time for that. Usually after the show, you head next door to Gold's Gym. That's right at 1 o'clock.
That's true. And I would today if it wasn't for the fact that the SLU men's basketball team, they have their media availability at 2 o'clock. So we will hold them accountable.
Work out at the Chaffetz. Ask Travis Ford if you can work out with the players.
I might have to do that. But along with, hey, I'm in the best shape of my life, the other cliche that I had to write down, and this is not a St. Louis thing. This was a national MLB Network question at the end of the day. That was one of the two.
Really? Cliche
most
answers?
Tired cliches.
They're giving credit to a great segment, too.
At the end of the day?
I think that's what it is. Yes.
And best shape of his life. I know we have to break here. We're talking some St. Louis Effie coming up. I think it's really interesting to watch what the Reds are doing this offseason.
I don't get what the Reds
are
doing
this offseason.
Well, here's why it's great.
Okay, but this is why what you just said is the reason it's amazing. Because think about this. No, listen. Okay. They make the deal with Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody wants Sonny Gray now. And I know he was really good about 5 years ago, but whatever. We'll see. Hopefully he's good if you're a Reds fan.
I don't trust any former A's arms. Period.
Yes, and you talk about he is a smaller guy when you talk about the wear and tear of a season. But the Reds this year, this offseason, they are trying to win. They add Sonny Gray, Yasiel Puig, Matt Kemp, Alex Wood. They get the Homer Bailey deal off the books. And it's funny because, Hoff, what you just said.
2019 Reds trying to win.
No,
we're done with Homer Bailey.
Right. No, but my point is, I just said that here's a Major League Baseball team that's trying to win. And you said, I don't get it. But that shows you.
I don't think it's going to work.
Okay,
you can try to win like the Phillies. I think the Phillies might work.
But that's not my point. Like, it is now weird to us in 2019 in baseball when a mid-level team tries to win. Think about that. It confuses us. Every team should do this. Every team should try to win.
I think what the Reds are doing, and it's funny because it involves the same player, is similar to what the Padres tried to do a couple years ago.
Right.
When they brought in Matt Kemp and Craig Kimbrell, and I think it was Will Myers from Tampa. And it's like, well, it's cool because you're making moves and you're trying to better yourself, but it's in a way that doesn't make any sense.
But they tried.
They did.
Would you rather have your team tank for 5 years?
Well, the Reds did that, and it didn't work.
Okay, but you know what?
Right, they didn't tank properly. Yes, agreed.
They didn't even tank well.
They signed a horrible deal with Homer Bailey. I think we can all agree on that. Joey Votto, great player, another big deal. I think if you have two huge contracts on the books, even though Joey Votto's great, in a mid-market, it's hard to build a contender around that. But my larger point is, we are confused now when mid-level baseball teams try to win. And that is a sad commentary on the state of baseball because we need more teams like the Twins every year.
I agree.
The Twins try. Last year it didn't work. But on paper, I liked a lot of their moves. The one-year deals for the Lance Lynns, Fernando Rodneys, Logan Morrisons of the world. Okay, you can't all tank and succeed. All these teams aren't going to win a World Series. You need to have a middle class in baseball. That's why I think it's great. I don't care if the Reds, if it doesn't work. I don't care if they win 74 games. Or maybe, you know what, they're in it. They add at the break, and they can be in the wild card discussion. You need teams to try. And that's why it's crazy to me that when a baseball team tries that hasn't for about 5 years, it flummoxes us. That's how it should be for all of these teams, right?
Yes, I am intrigued to see what happens here because, let's face it, every time the Cardinals played at Cincinnati, there was nobody in any of those games ever because they've been so bad for so long. And the fact that they're even trying, will it work? I'm kind of like you, Brian. I'm kind of like, I don't know how that's going to pay off. But they're better.
But you're intrigued a little
bit. They're
putting
a better product on the field, so hopefully some of the Reds fans will show up to some of the games. But you punch that in with a couple of nice players like Suarez and Peraza on the infield.
Scooter
Votto
Jeanette.
Is such an underrated. For nothing else, at least they're trying for Votto. I love
yes.
that guy. He is the epitome of what
you
would
want
your player to be.
Yeah, for the people that say there's no long-term contract that work out, outside of the Reds just being a dysfunctional organization, Joey Votto is example number one about how in the right time, at the right age, with the right guy, you can make a long-term contract work, and Joey Votto is a perfect example of it.
Father White on the text line saying, Chuck, quit trying to audition for Hoff's baseball show.
Yeah.
Chuck. All right. We'll switch it up. Talking a little St. Louis FC. What do we have coming up on the midday grind, Jim? Here?
Austin Martz is going to drop in here. He's running a few minutes behind, but he will be here with us. He's going to be in his second year with St. Louis FC. They're going to start their training camp here in about 3 weeks or so. Team made the playoffs for the first time last year. We'll have a conversation with Austin.
And then Kenny Wallace, also defending St. Louis,
yeah.
coming up. Tuesdays with Kenny. Brian Hoffman, any Hollywood Casino sponsors we need to mention before we totally change shows?
Oh, this is the end of the Maryville University listener line. Plenty of conversation on our text line, but we do with the Maryville University listener line. Greenville University, normally the sponsor for 5 for Frank. Greenville.edu for more information. I believe tomorrow we'll have, in the 12 o'clock hour, the former president of Greenville coming in to hang out with Martin for a little bit. Also, Dr. Jones, 1-855-260-EYES. For any eye issues, give Quantum Vision Centers a call on the Bomarito Automotive Group online 24 hours a day at bomarito.com.
All right. This has been the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Coming up, all new show with the same cast, but it'll be totally different and much, much better, even though prior 2 hours, Palsy, pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
Not bad. Midday Grind coming up next on 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com.